Cessna confirms a bid to buy out Columbia Aircraft. Garmin seeks to make glass panels available in more King Airs. And Bombardier unveils a new panel for the Global 5000 and Express. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 25th, 2007. Monday was expected to bring big announcements from manufacturers here in Atlanta at NBAA, but none compared to the bombshell from Cessna. Just a few hours after CEO Jack Pelton declined to address the issue at the company's midday press conference, Cessna confirmed to ANN that it has signed a letter of intent with Columbia Aircraft to acquire selected assets and certain liabilities of that Oregon-based manufacturer. In the official announcement, Pelton said, quote, "Columbia's unique capability in the high-end single-engine piston market makes it a perfect complement to our next-generation piston product line and could provide our customers with the option of an outstanding low-wing, high-performance piston airplane. We believe the combination of this superb product line and Cessna's world-class support structure and brand will be unbeatable," unquote. Columbia on Monday filed a voluntary petition for reorganization under Chapter 11 and submitted a motion seeking approval of the sale to Cessna. Other interested parties could submit offers in an auction to be held in November. Columbia Chief Restructuring Officer Carl Jung commented, quote, "This path enables the company to manage its present cash flow and liabilities while pursuing a plan that enables us to continue operating until a final sale can be completed," unquote. A sale to Cessna is contingent upon the approval of the bankruptcy court and the satisfaction of the closing conditions set forth in the letter of intent, including the execution of a definitive purchase agreement with Cessna. Jung said further that the bankruptcy was a necessary step to allow production of Columbia aircraft and support of existing customers, and, quote, "customers should expect an enhanced customer experience once the deal closes," unquote. So far, there's no word on what employees should expect. Industry sources have predicted that a sale to Cessna would likely mean the end of production in Bend, Oregon, and the loss of hundreds of jobs there in the Central Oregon economy. Will the auction process produce a bidder who wants to save local jobs more than Cessna wants low-wing, high-performance aircraft? ANN will keep you posted. Last year, Garmin revealed the King Air C90 would be the first legacy aircraft eligible for a retrofit G1000 avionics suite. The company tells ANN the C90 program is anticipated to receive its supplemental type certificate soon, so Garmin has begun a G1000 STC program for the King Air 200 and B200. Gary Kelly, Garmin's VP of Marketing, says customer reaction has been positive and expanding availability to the 200 series is a logical next step. Quote, "This retrofit option allows customers to transform their panel without altering the King Air's legendary performance or flight characteristics," unquote. The G1000 suite in 200s will be very similar to the C90 setup, integrating all primary flight, navigation, communication, terrain, traffic, weather, and engine instruments on a 15-inch multifunction display and two 10.4-inch primary flight displays. Included will be Garmin's GFC 700 3-axis, fully digital, dual-channel, fail-passive automatic flight control system. The King Air 200 and B200 will be among the first G1000-equipped aircraft to include Garmin's Mode S transponder with 1090 MHz extended squitter that meets ADS-B transmit guidelines. Also at NBAA on Monday, Bombardier unveiled its new Global Vision flight deck for Global 5000 and Global Express XRS aircraft. London Air Services, a charter service provider based in Vancouver, British Columbia, will be the first customer. Global Vision is based on Rockwell Collins ProLine Fusion, using four high-resolution 15-inch diagonal active matrix liquid crystal displays working in concert with a heads-up guidance system. Bombardier Enhanced Vision System, or BEVS, improves situational awareness, allows observation of the runway environment in difficult operating conditions, and offers lower approach minimums under certain situations. Several companies, including a number of air taxi operators and a manufacturer of the next generation of new aircraft, announced at NBAA on Monday they have come together to form the Next Generation Air Mobility Coalition, or NGAMC. NGAMC's mission is to provide increased air mobility by spurring the visibility, growth, and acceptance of the next generation of air transportation. The group's first priority? promoting accelerated adoption of the next generation air transportation system equipage and operating capabilities in their products and services. In addition, NGAMC will be managed by Wexler and Walker Public Policy Associates, and the firm's chairman, former Congressman Bob Walker, will be a key advisor. He says, quote, "I'm pleased to be helping lead a coalition that will promote understanding and acceptance of new aircraft, new services, and what will eventually emerge as a new industry," unquote. NGAMC companies include Dayjet, Eclipse, Jet Alliance, Linear Air, and Satsair. Up next on ANN, new Cessna Caravans get the Garmin G1000. Embraer's first Phenom 100 has logged 55 hours. And Avidyne makes the Envision Suite available for the Cessna Centurion. You're listening to Aero News.
The Piper Meridian. Pressurized comfort and pure performance. Six-seat comfort. 500 horsepower turboprop, maximum cruise speed, 260 knots true, range, 1,000 plus nautical miles, useful load, 1,720 pounds, maximum operating altitude, 30,000 feet, excitement level, off the charts. To learn more about the Piper Meridian, visit us at NBAA booth number 1156. Log on to piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
If you're fascinated by innovation and state-of-the-art technology, make sure you stop by Eclipse Aviation's exhibit and check out the Eclipse 500 and the Eclipse Concept Jet at this year's NBAA in Atlanta. To create the Eclipse 500, the company used innovations and business practices forged in the technology industry to drive down cost while increasing performance. Eclipse is applying innovation across every facet of its business to make the Eclipse 500 significantly safer, easier, and less expensive to operate than traditional business aircraft, and more efficient to certify and produce. Some of the groundbreaking innovations that the company is applying to the Eclipse 500 include friction stir welding, the Fostrex fire suppression system, electromechanical actuators, and digital electronics with integrated software.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 25th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. In Atlanta for NBAA 2007, I'm Paul Plack. Cessna announced on Monday the Garmin G1000 Integrated Avionics Package will become standard equipment for all Caravan models beginning in the first half of 2008. The Caravan's G1000 will use three 10-inch displays, two as primary flight displays, and one multifunction display, similar to the layout in the Citation Mustang. One of the PFDs can serve as a backup, increasing dispatchability. The system also includes the GFC-700, an integrated dual-channel digital autopilot. Radar, TAWS-B, XM radio, and XM weather are optional features. Cessna also announced it will offer optional TKS ice protection from Aerospace Systems and Technology on Caravans equipped with cargo pods and scheduled for delivery during the first half of 2008. TKS releases glycol-based fluid through laser-drilled panels on the leading edges of the wings, horizontal and vertical stabilizers to prevent ice accumulation. A slinger ring on the propeller also emits fluid to keep the prop, windshield, cargo pod, and landing gear free of ice. Cessna's Caravan orders this year were reported at double the company's goal for 2007, and the company says it plans to double production rates in 2008 to keep pace. Brazilian plane maker Embraer says its intensive flight test campaign for the first Phenom 100 aircraft continues at its Gavião Peixoto plant in Brazil. The very light jet first took off on July 26th and has now logged 55 hours in 39 flights to date. First deliveries are scheduled for mid-2008. Luis Carlos Afonso, Embraer Executive Vice President for Executive Jets, says Embraer is proud to display the new plane. Quote, "The Phenom 100 recently made its first public appearance. We're very pleased to show the market a best-in-class jet, modern, comfortable, with excellent performance and low operational costs," unquote. The Phenom 100 test campaign will include a fleet of four jets and a total of about 1,800 flight hours. Meanwhile, the Phenom 300's rear fuselage is currently being built in a plant at Botucatu, Brazil. Its jet engine has run for the first time on a test cell at Pratt & Whitney, Canada. Avadyne Corporation and Crown Air Aviation introduced a retrofit of the Envision integrated flight deck into the Cessna 210 and T210 Centurion Monday at NBAA. The companies say they're jointly developing the supplemental type certificate to bring state-of-the-art safety and situational awareness systems, as well as ease of operations, to the high-performance piston aircraft. About 8,400 210s and T210s were built between 1959 and 1985. The Centurion was Cessna's top-of-the-line single-engine piston aircraft and is still widely used for IFR cross-country cruising. The Envision system for the 210 and T210 includes an Avadyne EXP5000 primary flight display, an EX5000 multifunction display, Mid-Continent Instruments 2-inch standby altimeter, airspeed indicator and attitude indicator, and a JP Instruments engine monitor. Envision systems are now available for retrofit in King Air 200 and 90 series turboprops, Cessna 300 and 400 series piston twins, and early Cirrus SR20 and SR22 piston singles. Retrofit company Sandell Avionics announced at NBAA that it's upgrading its entire product line with light-emitting diode backlights, claiming it's the first company to use LEDs in all its display products. LED backlighting offers increased sunlight visibility, screen resolution color fidelity, product life, and dispatch reliability, along with significant reduction in maintenance costs and aircraft downtime. Jerry Block, Sandell's CEO, says LEDs virtually eliminate maintenance. Quote, operators of business and air transport aircraft can now update their panels to outperform anything else on the market, including large format glass cockpits, unquote. Still ahead, Airbus announces a short list of potential A350 development partners. Boeing prepares to defend itself against subsidy charges at the WTO. And NASA will try again to launch the Dawn space probe this Thursday. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 25th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Airbus announced Monday it has narrowed to 5 the number of candidates for partners in some of its manufacturing facilities in France, Germany, and the UK. The Associated Press reports the list includes GKN PLC of Britain, Aviation Latacour of France, German companies Voith AG and MT Aerospace, and Spirit Aerosystems from the U.S. As for when we might expect final decisions, Chief Executive Tom Enders responded, quote, announcements will only be made when Airbus and the EADS management have arrived together with the potential partners at concrete terms and conditions for a promising long-term partnership, unquote. Airbus is looking for partners willing to participate in development of the A350XWB widebody, which is planned to reach its first buyers in 2013. Airbus proposes the partners would share investment and risks, as well as benefits. Boeing is preparing its defense against a charge from the European Union that the company has benefited unfairly from more than $10 billion in U.S. government subsidies. The charge is pending before the World Trade Organization, and the U.S. has filed a similar but much larger complaint about EU subsidies of Airbus. Thomson Financial quotes one advisor to Boeing as saying the EU is vastly overestimating what the U.S. government has paid Boeing over the past 30 years. The EU claims the number is at least $10.4 billion U.S. Boeing argues it has received only about $750 million over that period. Boeing and the Bush administration argue that the payments from the Defense Department are for services rendered, not subsidies, and that technology developed under defense contracts is typically prohibited from export on civilian aircraft. Another Boeing argument is that Airbus has outsold Boeing in recent years and has a bigger order backlog, making it hard to demonstrate financial harm as required under WTO rules. The U.S., on the other hand, has charged that Airbus gets hundreds of billions of dollars in zero-interest government loans to launch new products, then is not forced to pay them back if the products are unsuccessful. Both sides have hinted that they're interested in a settlement outside the WTO to avoid resulting tariffs that are WTO's only available remedy. NASA has scheduled the space probe Dawn for its much-delayed launch this Thursday. Dawn will be sent on an 8-year mission to unlock the secrets of the solar system and how it was born. Initial exploration targets are Ceres and Vesta, the two largest asteroids orbiting the Sun, in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. Liftoff is scheduled between 7:20 and 7:49 a.m. on Thursday. Dawn is scheduled to spend 8 months orbiting Vesta in October 2011, then move on to a rendezvous with Ceres in February 2015, traveling a total distance of over 3 billion miles to get there. Dawn has become somewhat of a poster child for mission delays. The mission was canceled in 2003, then reinstated the following year. NASA then announced the mission was in stand-down mode in the fall of 2005, called it indefinitely postponed in January 2006, then canceled it 2 months later, blaming budget overruns and, of all things, delays. Then, after howls of protest from the scientific community, Dawn was officially back on less than a month later. The probe was scheduled for launch this year on June 20th, then delays in getting parts slipped that to June 30th. A broken crane, competing launch priorities, and a wrench dropped into the spacecraft by a worker conspired to delay the mission further, and here we are today. If Dawn isn't launched in the next few weeks, the asteroids which are its primary exploration targets will have moved out of range. And finally, applying a little reverse math to a recent statement by NASA Administrator Michael Griffin, it appears the agency has a goal of landing a man on Mars by 2037. Griffin was addressing an International Astronautics Congress in Hyderabad, India, to mark the half-century anniversary of Sputnik. He told the gathering that on Sputnik's 100th anniversary in 2057, he expects we'll be celebrating the 20th anniversary of man's first landing on Mars. That prediction, of course, is contingent on getting the Dawn space probe launched by 2037. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guests are Paul Tau and Nick Solinger from ExoJet, and they'll tell us why they just ordered 30 more new Cessna Citation 10s for their fleet. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.